Welcome to Stutter Talk, everybody. My name is Eric Jackson, and my guest today, Barry Harbach. Hey, Barry.
Hi, Eric.
And did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yep.
Harbach.
Yeah.
Barry is an assistant editor at HarperCollins, and we're going to be talking in a little bit about a piece that he just did for Slate.com. Stutter Talk at StutterTalk.com. I'm going to make you sit through a quick fantasy football update. Is that okay, Bear?
Yeah, I'm excited to see how you did.
So, we're in the playoffs right now. We finished round one. I, unfortunately, am out. The four teams left right now are Chelsea Chatters, the Minnesota Blockers, who is Joel Corti, B-team member, who is also a big fan of yours, Barry Harbach.
Joel Corti.
Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joel.
Hi, Joel.
The Orlando Fluency Shapers, who is Mike Bauer's team, and the Deep Dish Stutterers, who is regular co-host Peter Reitzis' team. Now, in the first round, the Chelsea Chatters, who is Dave Friedman's team, walloped our good friend Joel Corti, 122-73. They will play again this coming week, and the Orlando Fluency Shapers walloped Peter Reitzis, 106-73. Now,
does Peter's team have a name like the Orlando Fluency Shapers?
Yeah, Peter's team is the Deep Dish Stutterers.
Awesome.
So we're gonna give you another update next time about how things end up. I just want to remind people that if you would like to donate to Stutter Talk, you can donate through PayPal at the website. There's a little yellow donate button at the bottom of each entry. Barry.
Yes, sir.
First of all, it's been way too long. I haven't seen you. How are things?
Things are good. I think the last time we saw each other was at Long Island U, right? For one of your panels.
Yeah, when you came and spoke in my class, and you got up there and you were like, I'm Barry, I stutter, and I don't really think about it that much. It was classic.
Uh-huh. And a total, complete lie. Of course I think about it all the time.
So, wait, you were telling me a story before about your boss, how every time you go to say your boss's name...
Oh, right. Well... his phone line comes through my office, so I have to answer the phone for him every day, multiple times a day. And whereas I suppose the professional thing to do would be to say David Hershey's office, which I just said very fluently,
yeah, right,
and calmly. I just nailed
that
it,
that was
right?
So good, Barry.
Right? Thanks. But that proves like violently impossible whenever it happens, like during the day. And so in place of that, I just say hello, which is usually hard enough,
right.
but I'm, you know, 1,000 times more successful at doing that. I don't know if it's much of a story, but it's, you know, I'm so aware of how I answer the phone, and you know, people are still confused because they think they're calling my boss, and I have to say, you know, hello, this is Barry.
Yeah. Well, the phone thing is hard enough, I think, for a lot of people who stutter, but especially the H sound on the phone.
Right. Yeah.
Because what ends up happening is it turns into
exactly. Yeah. It's like a hiss. Like
you know. So it's either like a hiss
sound. Yeah.
Which is like a phone noise or something, or you sound like a pedophile,
right?
Or just nothing comes out at all, you know. So what do you?
Yeah, your throat constricts. You know, it's like a it's like a puckering, except it's not at the front of your mouth. It's deep in the back of your throat.
Yeah, and it's because the H sound, until that vowel comes along, it's just air,
mm-hmm.
right? So, yeah, you did a really cool piece for Slate.com, which, actually, funny story quickly, Barry comes over, and we were quickly talking about what we were going to do on the show. And I... there's that H sound right there.
There you go.
You see that? I have to apologize because there's a really cool slideshow that you put together with your piece that I didn't even watch just because I wasn't really sure what it was, and you know, so I read the introduction and not the slideshow, and I'm sorry for that.
Well, that's all right. But if people do go to the site, the text on the landing page is just an introduction. There's 10 video clips that surveys the history of stuttering characters in Hollywood movies and beyond. And it's on occasion of the King's Speech, which has kept you quite busy, I think.
Actually, it's kept Peter quite busy.
Uh-huh.
I just saw it, though, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So one thing that was really cool about the slideshow, and we're going to talk more about this in a little bit, mm-hmm. but you had movies there from like the 20s and the 30s, and there was a silent film in there, which clearly showed stuttering, which was so cool.
Yeah,
so where'd you find all this stuff?
Well, it's called Girl Shy.
Well, which is horrible in its own...
No, right. It's like a complete... archetype, and sort of like a perversion of like a, you know, cliche about being nervous, which is that you start stuttering and bumbling about and pricking people with needles, which this guy does because he works in his uncle's tailoring shop, and his uncle is the only person that can cure him of his bumbling ways by blowing a whistle. But anyway, this is it's a movie called Girl Shy. It was in 1924, and it's a silent Harold Lloyd movie, and the first talkie I think was in 1929. There was this whole you know, cultural phenomenon of vaudevillian stuttering actors. And so as soon as filmmakers began making movies, these characters that were in vaudeville shows just began to appear in different spoken parts. And so you can actually trace Girl Shyness through many films that... some of which are on the slideshow, and some of which I just had to throw out.
The piece is called "A History of Stuttering in the Movies." It hasn't been pretty.
It's a great deck, don't you think?
Yes. Can you tell us why you wrote the piece? Where'd the motivation to write this come from?
Well, the National Stuttering Association sent an email out saying they had, you know, free tickets to the premiere of A King's Speech. Or is it The King's? It's The King's Speech.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which, as I'm sure everyone knows, is about King George VI. And so I just pitched the idea to Slate as pegged, as we say, to the premiere of the movie. But I've been thinking about fictional characterizations of the stutter for like a long time. I say the stutter. I don't really know what I mean by that. But there's a site online that has that it's from some Midwestern university, I can't remember which, but they have a long list of movies.
It's probably the Stuttering homepage, what Judy Custer puts together.
Uh-huh.
At a Western
Michigan.
Yeah.
Is it
Western Michigan? I think it's Mankato State. Or something. Is that in Michigan?
I don't know.
I should really
throw
know this.
Throw up a URL as soon as you post this podcast.
Well, I'm sure it's called the Stuttering homepage, and actually, it's a really wonderful site there.
Yeah, they've got a lot of
ton
stuff.
Of resources there
yeah.
for people who stutter, for professionals in the field. I'm sorry.
No, they have a page each for books and TV and film, and it was a great starting point. I mean, there were some of the very early ones that they didn't have, but you know, they turn up in books like Mark Shell's Stutter or Benson Bobrick's Knotted Tongues. Yeah, so there are ways to find them, and then it was just a lot of fun to sort of watch, you know, 35 movies that have a stuttering character in them and choose 10 and then find like a, you know, 30-second clip to put up on the web, you know.
Just to set the scene here a little bit, Barry and I are sitting at a table in the Stutter Talk studio, right across from each other.
Staring into each other's eyes.
Into each other's eyes. And I could sense that we're both getting uncomfortable by it. How has the history of stuttering been in the movies?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty obvious assessment as soon as you start seeing how it's been. I mean, there's a... The King's Speech is like one of two movies I've seen that is actually like very sympathetic and comes at the stutter, so to speak, like from the character's point of view. And it's not about holding them up for ridicule or... using the stutter to like outline a psychotic, you know, murderer. But yeah, it's played for laughs. It's like, you know, I saw like four or five films where a stutterer is being tortured because it like adds another element of like drama, I guess. But but yeah, the thing I wrote for Slate is just like sort of a survey of, you know, the movies that in total set a very low bar for The King's Speech, but I thought Colin Firth was very, very good.
Yeah, no, and I do want to talk about that in a second here. Uh-huh. But
I'm roaring
to
go about The King's Speech. Nothing. It's come up twice now, and I just can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, you love Colin Firth. No, and he did do a wonderful job in this movie. But, again, we'll get to that. So, isn't there something funny about stuttering, though?
Well, I do think... I mean, I think that we do find awkwardness, like, funny, and... And there are like a stuttering provides a stuttering character or somebody like Austin Pendleton in My Cousin Finney, who has to stand up in front of a room full of people, and he's an, you know, attorney in court, and he has to talk in front of all those people, and the fact that he can't do it is supposed to like be very funny, but it's also like not a very empathetic way of approaching people. Like, you know, like Martin Lawrence setting his leg on fire is funny too, but it doesn't make for a very good movie, you know. I mean, I don't know.
So you're saying that you're not a fan of Martin Lawrence? I
like him in Bad Boys.
Yeah of of course. And it isn't an empathetic way to look at it. And I think that that's why, you know, it is important to kind of bring up, like, how terrible stuttering has been portrayed in the movies over the over the years, you know?
Well, and it's often at the expense of, like, what we actually know about stuttering. You know, it's like these movies present stutter mostly in very poor, unrealistic ways, mechanically, like how someone's actually stuttering. Like when we were just going through the clips now, at the final clip is in from a movie called The Mirror by this Russian director Andrei Tarkovsky, and the prelude to the whole film is this stuttering character being cured by hypnotism, and it's very clear that he's not an actor but a real stutterer, because you can see that he's like he has these secondary tics, and he's stuttering in a very like consistent way. I mean, in a very severe way. But you can tell when an 8-year-old kid in The Cowboys is going like that, and
which was one of the films in the slideshow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a John Wayne movie, and John Wayne is forced to recruit these kids to help him cattle drive because everyone else is like panning for gold in the West. So he gets these kids from the local school. He like takes them out of school, and one of the kids stutters, and as they're like fording a river, one of the kids falls off of their horse, and it takes the stuttering kid, who's the only one to see it happen, a long time to tell John Wayne to go rescue this guy who's fallen off the boat. So
yeah.
So after they do, then John Wayne, of course, is like, "You could have killed him. Like, get rid of that stutter or go home." Basically,
I feel like that's a particularly painful one.
Mm-hmm.
To watch.
Right.
And it might be because John Wayne is such, you know, like the archetype male, strong dude,
right.
Just totally like ripping you apart, you know?
Right. Well, and the movie is essentially about manhood, and the right. way John Wayne challenges the kid is like, grow up. And the kid who's stutters is made angrier and angrier, and just starts cursing out John Wayne very fluently. Yeah. So the takeaway moral is that not only like did the stuttering kid almost kill his compatriot because he's young and nervous and not yet a man, but that John Wayne has cured him essentially by only making him mad. You know?
Yeah. And it leaves the question out there. Well, why, when a person is mad or angry or cursing, can they speak? That means that you can always speak fluently. If when you're yelling and when you're screaming and when you're cursing, you can do it.
Mm.
Then just do it all the time, and it speaks. Right. To variability and all that stuff with stuttering.
Well, I think people make just like gross generalities like on that level. And the funny thing about watching their portrayals in film is like you kind of start to think to yourself, well, what's coming first? Like the portrayal or these like hackneyed ideas of a stutter? Like which one is influencing the other? And you have to think, I mean, well.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think that, like, kids in school, and I was one of them, are often teased in ways that are, like, founded upon these portrayals. I mean, whether it be Porky Pig or, you know, Ken from A Fish Called Wanda.
I told this, I'm not sure, actually, if I told this on the air before, but I was in a fraternity, and I told you this before.
Yeah, you did it.
Barry. See?
It sounds terrible.
This is one of those times when I don't want to tell it over again. So people in fraternities get nicknames.
Just everyone gets a nickname.
Everyone gets
Fat Joe.
A nickname, you know. Yes, but much, much worse.
Uh-huh.
Although... to a person who might be overweight, you know, what's the difference, right?
Right.
But I or one of my nicknames was Ken from A Fish Called Wanda, you know. So it wasn't just Ken. It was
right.
Ken.
Right.
You know, which at the time was like, I tried, like, how I knew to deal with stuttering at the time was push everything away in college, and I pretended to be okay with it.
Well, that's probably a very healthy reaction.
Actually, I don't think it was, you know. Yeah. I think it was a very typical reaction, you know. And it was a normal reaction to this crazy thing I was going through. But I was in a fraternity. I was with a bunch of dudes, you know. Like, I couldn't let something like that get me upset. So I just kind of pushed it away.
Yeah, I mean, A Fish Called Wanda is like a very popular movie, and it's one in which, like, Ken, the stutterer, is like made fun of relentlessly by Otto, and like is tied up at one point. Like, he's not treated very well, and
he's made to be the moron. Please go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I in re-watching A Fish Called Wanda and thinking, you know, to myself that this is like perceived as to be like a very poor depiction of like a stutterer, and an offensive one. But when you watch it again, you see that like Otto comes off much worse. I mean, like, you root against Kevin Kline's character because of the way that he treats Ken, which like doesn't redeem the fact that like Ken is like a bad stuttering archetype or whatever you want to call him, representation. And he's like cured by killing Otto at one point. Like, he, and I think he's cured in quotes before that by a French kiss from Jamie Lee Curtis. Anyway.
Which always does it. I'm not sure if you've had that experience.
No.
When I was in high school, I didn't get to French kiss that many girls. So here, let's take a quick break here. And I know you really want to talk about the King's Speech, so we'll come back.
I can't wait.
And we'll talk about your favorite movie.
Okay. It is not my favorite movie.
Hi, this is Sean Brown from the Speaking Freely Speech Support Group chapter of the National Stuttering Association. I serve as the chapter leader and welcome you to attend our dynamic meetings. During our bi-monthly meetings, our topics range from self-acceptance to the psychological effects of stuttering to cold calls, and we're embarking upon the situational speaking program that can enhance your speaking skills. Our philosophy is in alignment with the NSA as we stress to let go and not let stuttering stand in the way of your goals and life objectives. For more information about our group, please contact me at 410-591-9809 or visit the NSA website at www.restutter.org and click on Find a Support Group in Your Area. Remember, with every victory you have against stuttering, you start getting your life back.
This is David Seidler. I'm a stutterer, and this is Stutter Talk.
Okay, so we're back right now. And
can
I
we
had
please
to do
talk
of,
about the King's Speech?
And I had to do one of those stop Barry from talking things again. He really wants to talk about the King's Speech. Just a reminder, you're listening to Stutter Talk. Eric Jackson here with guest, friend. Is this your first time on Stutter Talk?
Yeah.
It is, right?
You've been after me for a while.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want something to talk about,
yeah,
you know, when I come on. So, and now we have the King's Speech. No,
my favorite movie. Stutter Talk at StutterTalk.com, 206-666-5340. It's all right. We're having a beer right now. You said something really interesting before, Barry. How when you drink, you actually have a harder time speaking. And I was so interested by that because mine is completely the opposite story.
Well, it's sort of like anecdotal. Like, it's not like I've tracked this statistically.
Could you really track it, though, right?
Well, you bring this up because I just refuse to go get more beer, right?
I refuse to talk about the King's Speech. I've been trying to get you to talk about this movie for
so
long.
No, but my refusal to go get more beer is because I'm afraid if I have another one, my speech will worsen. I think after a beer or two, for some reason, I'm like, I have to like steer the ship more carefully.
It'll worsen in the sense of you'll just have more overt, noticeable disfluencies, or like it'll just make you more uncomfortable when you're talking and when you're communicating here.
Maybe that's it. But I do think I get stuck a lot more. I mean, but it might also be that I usually drink in social situations where I'm around people that I'm not usually, you know.
So that's a really interesting point.
I'm girl shy.
Yeah, I was about to say another one of your favorite movies, it seems. I was about to say, yeah, like I when I do drink, it's almost like a social anxiety reducer for me.
Uh-huh.
So all of that stuff that comes along with stuttering, a lot of my feelings of anxiety and stuff when I'm in some type of social situation, mm-hmm, it reduces that, you know? The chemical and alcohol, it's probably somehow related to dopamine in some way, right? I'm not exactly sure. I probably shouldn't be spitting things out.
Yeah,
like
I'm,
that on
I'm
this
not
going
to wade into that trap. Yeah,
but whatever it is, it just puts me more at ease, and it just makes me a more efficient communicator.
Really?
Or so I think. Uh-huh. But what you were saying was really interesting.
It did look like a flask there in your pocket. You know.
Yeah, I do have a flask in my pocket. So I have a beer on the table.
Just constantly
and a
drinking.
Flask of whiskey in my pocket. But what you were saying was really interesting in that you kind of associate drinking with being in a social situation where you might have a lot of anxiety sometimes, or like have some anxiety sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of picking up a drink, or when you're thinking of drinking, it kind of brings that. Is this making any sense to you right now?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Okay. I mean, like, it's true that we're having a beer now, and it's been, you know, months since I've seen you.
Yeah.
And it's a season of like holiday parties, so that's on my mind too.
So you're going to a bunch of holiday parties right now, and you need to mingle and all that.
Yeah, don't you feel like it's a total burden?
Well, actually, it's interesting you bring this up, and we will get to the King's Speech. But I had two holiday parties in one night recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so awkward. Like, there are so many people at the holiday... Well, at least at my first holiday party, where it's like you feel obliged to talk to them, you know, but you don't really want to. You're not really, you know... But it's like part of the you know, it's part of the game or whatever you want.
Be very careful here. You know, change names if they come up.
Yeah, I don't think anybody from that job listens to Stutter Talk. Anyway, it was and it does bring up like all of these. You know, well, I'm not really that into it, and I force myself to speak to people, and it's uncomfortable, and speaking in those situations and stuttering is a lot harder, you know?
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just like, yeah, like when like you're conscious of the impression you make, right?
Yeah. Holiday parties. I love Christmas.
Right. There's like that gauntlet of first impressions before you can actually like escape to your family. And then...
You're what?
And then you just want to escape from that. Actually, just edit all this. We're way
actually not editing it in. Okay, so you end the written part of your piece, and just a reminder again, you can find the piece, and I'm not even sure if I said this initially. You can find the piece. We'll have a link on our website at slate.com. And search for Barry Harbaugh.
H-A-R-B-A-U-G-H.
Yeah.
I mean, or you can just go to the culture part of the magazine, and it should be there for the next few days.
Oh, great. Well, we'll probably post this show on Thursday, as I look at my calendar. Thursday, December 23rd.
Okay.
Okay. So... it might be in that section by then. It might not be. Anyway, you end your piece or the short written part of the piece talking about the King's Speech.
The short written part about the... What?
What?
The whole thing's an essay.
Right. But there's a written piece and there's a, a slideshow.
But the slideshow...
Don't make me feel like a...
slideshow includes like a lot of text. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so fine. So the first part, the part that you see without clicking on anything else on the website.
The part that you read.
Yeah, the part that I read. You end talking about your favorite movie, The King's Speech. What'd you think of it?
I thought Colin Firth was great, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a seriously hyped movie now, and it seems like a very British, like, Oscar bait movie.
And that makes you upset.
No. I mean, what I wanted to talk about mostly was the way that Colin Firth stutters, because I think it's very interesting, and I think that it's like an uncommon exacting portrayal that is believable. And maybe I'll just ask you, Doom, you think that the freedom that Colin Firth had to like come up with well, I guess it's not freedom exactly, because we have on tape King George VI delivering these speeches. So it's in one part like Colin Firth doing an impression of King George VI. But yeah. but it's also he has these secondary tics, and he like changes how words sound at the beginning as he's trying to say them in this way that seems like totally believable. And I wonder if you think that he was able to do that because the movie is fundamentally about a person who stutters,
yeah,
and from that person's perspective.
If he was able to pull off a stutter, I mean, is that kind of your question?
Sure.
I did like the movie. I didn't love it, and there was a lot of buzz about the movie. I like when you said in your piece that the area stuttering groups were in a tizzy about this movie, which was so true, you know.
Well, and I don't blame them at all. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a very useful movie in that there's just like no competition in terms of like showing a stuttering character in like an encouraging way.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be excited to show that to kids? But it's also true.
He's a king.
Yeah.
I think he does a great job. I was going to say that was one of the things that I really liked about the movie was his acting. And I'm not exactly sure who he worked with. And I'm not sure if it was just listening to tapes of King George.
Well, apparently he found some film too, so he was able to at least put a small amount of a face to the voice.
And I know that the writer of the film, David Seidler, who we had on the show recently, mm-hmm. Peter did a show with him. He is the person who stutters. I'm not sure how much input or help he was in the whole situation, but I think he did an awesome job stuttering. And again, it wasn't your classic repetitions or how I think you referred to it in your piece, the Porky Pig, what'd you call it? The Porky Pig
the first slide of the slideshow, it's a movie called Freaks.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stuttering character is married to a Siamese twin. And he's played by this guy named Roscoe Ates, who stuttered in his youth and was like a vaudeville actor. And his stutter, though, is like very much like Porky Pig's. I think I said it's the puckering precedent.
Yeah, something like that. Which was cool.
Because it's just all at the front of his mouth. Exactly.
What everybody sees and what everybody associated with. And still does to a large degree, you know?
Exactly. No, it's like a very foundational way of doing it.
Yeah.
Like Brendan Fraser in that terrible movie Passion of Darkly Noon.
Yeah.
Does the same thing. I mean, it's just like pa 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 ba 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 wa wa wa. You know, I mean, it's just
I think what I liked so much about it was how the way that he had these awkward kind of hesitations in his speech, and he had lots of secondaries going on, kind of like groping symptoms.
I just like that it, like, you could watch him talk, and it looked like a one of a kind.
And I think a big part of that, or at least in my mind, a big part of that was that you got the sense that he was running away from the stuttering moments. You know, like, he would get stuck, and he would do everything that, or it seemed like, and it looked like, he would do everything that he could not to stutter. And that's what stuttering is. It's not for most people, stuttering isn't just, you know, letting those repetitions out like that. It's not easy, you know. His speech was really, really hard and like fractured, and it just seemed really believable to me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I talked to Phil Schneider, who I think's been on your show.
Phil's a board member.
Oh, nice.
Stutter Talk.
Hi, Phil.
Oh, yeah, we have his movie right there.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I exchanged an email with Phil after I wrote the piece, and he said that he was glad they didn't take the Hollywood ending, which like caught me off guard because I was like, oh, like I thought it seems to me that it's like very much a Hollywood movie. It's practically like Rocky. Like yeah. It's this guy who has to like train for the big game and then pull it off successfully and become like a champion.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the King's Speech is. But so it took me a second. I was like, what could he mean by that? And I think what he means is that he's never cured, right? That
cured.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he
even though Lionel Logue says like a bunch of times in the movie, which I right. thought gave a lot of people the wrong idea, but you know, I can cure you if you want it bad enough, if you work but right. Anyway, it was the 20s and the 30s.
I can cure your husband, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but and there's a lot in the movie that is like of that era, but that we know now is just baloney, you know? I mean, and there's the montage at the beginning where he's with his first speech therapist who's doing the dysmosthenes, like marbles in the mouth kind of thing. But even Lionel Logue, I mean, it's like Freudian therapy, which we know now is bunk. But it too is like a good, like more than some of the ways that like Colin Firth's character is like analyzed. Like it's a good representation of, I think, therapist and patient, at least in this context of speech therapy. Like Lionel Logue, and Phil told me this too, is like Phil saw a lot of himself in Lionel Logue, and I was like familiar with that sort of presence, you know. It's like this almost fatherly like relationship or something.
Yeah, no, and I another thing that I really liked about the film, and then we'll get off this, but just because Stutter Talk has spent a lot of time on this movie so far.
I bet you have, yeah.
But another thing that I liked was how the relationship was at the forefront, right? Uh-huh. And you saw this like eclectic, kind of weird guy who was a really great therapist. You know, he did whatever he thought would help him. It wasn't a recipe. It wasn't a cookbook type approach. He spoke back to the King of England, you know, and I thought that was cool. You know, I didn't think the therapy that he was doing was really, like you were saying, Freudian, you know, as much as
all I meant was that there's that point at which they're talking about Birdie's parents as being these overbearing. I mean, that's a trope that's been Doom. You know that book Black Swan Green by David Mitchell?
No.
Well, parents is like a constant trope about stuttering, right? It's like cold parenting or like dysfunctional household or something, and we know now that that is like a spurious like origin story.
We do. At the same time, though, I guess I just kind of viewed it as more Logue tapping into like why he might be reacting so negatively to his speech. And that was important. You know, the nanny or whoever it was not feeding him when he stuttered or whatever that was. I mean, that's important stuff to talk about in speech therapy when you're working on stuttering, you know?
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, it's important to understand that
but
stuff.
But he also talks about changing, like, that he was forced to, like, write with his right hand when he's a left-handed person.
Which is, I mean, it's what they call the cerebral dominance theory, which in the 20s was huge. Mm-hmm. That f***ing H sound again. I'm going to have a lot of horn honks in this one. Yeah, I did like the movie. I'm not sure if it's going to win an Oscar or win any Oscars.
I think it's going to.
Really?
Yeah.
How great is that?
It was just nominated for like 7 Golden Globes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That.
I mean, Colin Firth is definitely going to win that Oscar.
Attention. You think so?
Yeah. And Jeffrey Rush will probably be up for one. I'm sure Tom Hooper will be up for Best Director.
Oh, well, that's
David
great,
Seidler.
Then.
I mean, yeah, it's just like...
So it's like a monster...
I think so.
So wait, so that's my last question... Yeah, so my last question about this then, do you think it's a step in the right direction then for stuttering in the mainstream, for stuttering in the movies?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, yes. Yes.
Yeah,
to,
right?
Like to be empathetic with people of any sort of disorder that like impacts them on a day-to-day schedule. Yeah, I think it's like good to not only be met with jokey or like perverse representations. But I hope for better movies, I guess. I still think it's sort of a simplistic portrayal of stuttering. You know, it's like he has this very straightforward goal of like, you know, I have to give speeches. And so it's a story of like him,
the King's Speech.
Right, like
I have a question for you. One more question. And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's all
right. It wouldn't have been so much easier if for all of these speeches on the radio, he just said in the beginning, oh, and I stutter.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like, I mean, you saw so much of him, like, trying to run around it, which...
And he never talks?
Which was forceful,
exactly. That's
you know, like forceful running around.
He never admits
and I don't
to people.
Call
he's like,
it,
look, I stutter. Like,
exactly.
This is going to take a while.
Exactly. And I, how could that not have just made things so much easier for him? it's been fun, man, and it's great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. I'm so happy that we got to stare into each other's eyes.
Yeah, this is very intimate.
Right.
I was gonna.
Joel will soon be jealous.
I was gonna put a candle on the table, but I opted out.
I think the table is worse off because of it.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
There's just this faint little hole in the cheap wood.
Dude, this table was my parents' tables from. Like the 70s.
Whoa.
And it's held up, it folds in, it goes small, it goes really big. So to diss it like that is
sorry.
Kind of
no. I'm sorry.
You're bad.
I was under a misimpression about how awesome this table is.
Yeah, but again,
my bad.
Thank you for joining us here at Stutter Talk. People can find your article where? Why don't you?
on Slate.com. Or you can just Google a history of stuttering in the movies.
Yeah. So if you go to Slate.com, just do a search for Barry Harbaugh if you can't find it, and it'll pop right up.
Yep.
Or you can contact Barry at the Gmail that he just gave you, BarryHarbaugh@gmail.com. Let's finish watching this Jet game. What do you say?
I'd be excited to do that.
Stutter
Thanks,
Talk.
Eric.
Thank you. Stutter Talk at StutterTalk.com.